Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices. Save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your ROH and TNA Impact post-show. Crazy things going on in TNA Impact, especially if you are a fan of mid-2000s WWE, my goodness. But we've got a lot to talk about. We have some to talk about. I don't want to lie to you guys. We don't have a lot to talk about. We have some things to talk about on tonight's ROH episode. This was about an hour-long episode, so go ahead and get in your Super Chats. We're going to have Humper Chat access very soon, so we will be able to accept any way that you want to send us money. We appreciate the support no matter what way it goes. We've got some clarity on the way. I asked Sean what the heck the deal was because Elias had this really cool vignette with the Righteous, but then shows up in TNA Impact today. So from my understanding, they're still under contract. The Righteous are still under contract with ROH. So clarity for that likely on the way, but the Cologne showing up in TNA Impact. Elijah showing up there today. So lots going on over there. This was a live episode for them, not a pre-tape as well. So which is more than we could say about this episode. But we had some good stuff as far as the ROH side on Monday of all days of the week. We had the ROH Global Wars, which I think ended up being a really fun event. It was kind of like some love letters to Australian wrestling were written within it, and some good stuff. I obviously, big Robbie Eagles gal, big TMDK gal. Very cool though. Like I'm such a fan of the wrestler that Robbie Eagles is, of what he was able to do in that match with Lee Moriarty. But if you talk to anybody in Australia, they will tell you, like, Australian wrestling, Robbie Eagles. I had started before I got COVID for the, like, 900th time. I had started this series that I still want to pursue at some point, where I just talk to people around the world with different wrestling scenes than we have in America. And I talked to probably 8 or 9 people in Australia to get that started, and every single one of them said it's Australian wrestling is alive and well because of Robbie Eagles, the way that that guy has prepared wrestlers to be on television and gotten them employed. So getting to see Robbie Eagles have that reception was so special. Athena and Alex Windsor also put on a hell of a match. I thought a lot of fun stuff happening there. I know you were like, oh, I just want the Sons of Texas to retain, please. And they did for you. So good stuff there. But I actually really liked this. I would love for them to do this anytime they're abroad, to do just like this kind of Global Wars phenomenon. Dungzilla also getting a shot at Tommy Knight, who's a very big piece of the scene over there in Australia. Really spirited event for the live crowd, but I thought they translated it pretty nice to what they're doing over here in ROH SP3.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Global Wars, and I was like, Kate could tell you, I hit her up on Monday. I was like, I kind of want to review this show. I didn't expect tonight's show to be as good as Monday's show, so I was like, I kind of want to review that one. So yeah, we can talk about that. That was a lot of fun, and I thought it was very interesting. It was called AEW ROH Global Wars. I know I talked about it a little bit with Jeremy over on In the Weeds, and he said not to make too much of a big deal of it, but I am going to make a big deal of it because it is like the first time that they have at least tried to call something AEW ROH. So I think that it may be the direction that they go in the future. And I like all the talent that was featured, and it did feel like a special. It felt like something kind of a little bit more than what we get weekly. So I enjoyed Global Wars a lot, and that Australian crowd was great.
The Australian crowd was hot the whole night. Super, super, super fun. I really, really liked it felt like it was a tribute to Australian wrestling, but it avoided being like, Australia, 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 kangaroos, boomerangs, Australia. Like, they just did a great job featuring Australian talent on the card, which I found really refreshing. I think that that's a home run, and that's something they should do pretty much every time they travel internationally, especially if you're not doing like a full pay-per-view. If you have to do 2 days of tapings, I think that's a wise part when you're traveling 20 hours for a show, like a lot of the talent had to do to go to Australia. But I do think maximizing your time there the way that they did was smart, because then the crowd got like a 4 or 5 hour show or a 3 or 4 hour show, as opposed to the 2 hours that we just watched at home. So I thought it was really fun. The chat saying loves Outrunners was incredibly silly on Global Wars. It felt so out of place. I felt like actually in a really fun way, though. And Bandido getting the pin on Jericho was awesome. Bandido's gear and Outrunners colors, I was like, okay, I love this fashion that's happening on this episode. But I was glad we got back to it tonight, because we had the Jericho's one. We were off for that. We had Global Wars. I'm like, can we get back to ROH programming? But I, you know, we'll talk about it today, but it just feels like we're in this waiting period until they get a TV deal, if they do.
Yeah, we're kind of going to have to wait for whatever the direction is going. We're going to get our big-time ROH world title match on Saturday's Collision. But to take us out of the AEW Tony Khan bubble or TNA bubble for just a bit here, we do have breaking news. The Rock just announced on social media he returns tomorrow night on SmackDown.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
For reals?
He just put it... I'm not working you. I'm not working you, brother or sister. I'm not
honestly,
working you.
When you said that, I was like, he's making a joke that The Rock is showing up on TNA.
No. Right now. No, I'm trying to show it on my phone. But Rock put bold and disruptive, unpredictable and dangerous. The final boss returns live on hashtag SmackDown tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on at USA Network, at WWE, at TKO Corp.
I'm sure it's a complete coincidence that it was announced today that he's going to be in like a Scorsese movie or something.
Exactly. We're like if people were wondering, oh, why is The Rock not going to do WrestleMania? Oh, probably because he's going to try to get his first Oscar by being in a Scorsese movie.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes for him. But that'll make my SmackDown post show very interesting tomorrow. So I'll take it. I'll take it for sure. But
same.
Please leave a thumbs up on this video, guys. Get into your super chats. No Humper Chats tonight. We'll also remind you, of course, to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. That's $6 in the biz, or $64 a year. We had correctly reported the Elijah, Ezekiel, Elias news, whatever, whichever brother you want to call up there. But there was some confusion about that. Sean had clarified that he was, in fact, not signed with Ring of Honor. That's very disappointing to me to see, because I really liked what they were doing. I feel like the Righteous should be tag champions, if not trios champions in some way. So I was looking forward to what that act could be under the ROH umbrella. Now it feels like it's either happening somewhere else or it fell apart at the seams. I'm not sure which, but I do know Sean is looking into it, because I was like, what the hell, man? So, but we've got a lot to talk about. News on that debut, as well as the Colognes debuting in TNA Impact as well. Also on FightfulSelect.com for you. Sounds like they're making the most of their live taping over there. So good for TNA Impact. We've got some ROH to talk about. I did also want to thank you guys, 127,000 strong on the subscription front for YouTube. So thank you so much for that. If you're not subscribed to our YouTube channel, we definitely recommend doing so, not just for the little alarm bells that let you know when people like me and SP3 are on, but you also get some exclusive content back there as well. SP3 actually filling in for us on Saturday for the Collision Post show, which I hope will be a fun follow-up. AEW is back on a heater today. And if Tony Khan being this in the weeds is what it takes to make this project work, I hope that, or promotion work rather, I hope that he is like Jumanji levels of in the weeds, because it's been a much better month of programming for AEW. But let's talk some ROH tonight. I got to say right off the bat, we talked about it last time. Ian being on Dynamite, what an uplift for the product that was. Yesterday, on a three-man booth, he kind of played a different role, and he was freaking great at that, too. Like, I know I'm a Stan account at this point, but, like, the role of kind of sitting back and connecting dots is actually really, really challenging, I feel like. And that's why so many three-person booths don't work. Like, it always feels like it's a two-person booth and another guy. He did a really good job in that role and really stepped in when he needed to. And I loved the sincerity we got with him when it came to the robe, talking about ROH and Jimmy Rave and saying, like, as the voice of ROH, this affects me so much. Two nights in a row of Ian Riccaboni, I'm a happy gal. Anything that you thought about ROH or AEW having Ian back on it? Because, man, aces for me.
Myself and Jimmy Rackaram over on True Hill, we have a saying. Once the show starts and we hear that Ian or Nigel is on commentary, it's a point up. Because they are so much better than the usual team on Dynamite. And I do agree that he played like a different role, but at the same time, I thought that Excalibur did a good job of adapting to Ian and really kind of giving him the reins at some point to do the play-by-play. Like, Excalibur is still the lead commentator. Like, he would go to like the ad reads and stuff like that, but he kind of gave the ball to Ian. He was like, Ian, you're the good point guard. You're the better point guard. I'm just going to play the two man, but I'm still the captain. So, hey, here's the ball. You run the plays. You do the show. And I think that it worked out very well for the commentary. Commentary was much better the past 2 weeks. Tony Khan, it's not a coincidence. And what we gotta understand, like, the reason why Kate always compliments the commentary team of Ian Riccaboni and Caprice Coleman is because commentary has an effect on the show quality. And I think that Dynamite has been much better over the last couple of weeks, because you had Nigel last week, you had Ian this week. 2 weeks before that, the commentary team felt like they were more engaged into the product as well. So yeah, that will help with the show quality. But I agree with you. AEW is on a roll right now, between Grand Slam, between the last month of Collision, and the last 3 weeks of Dynamite. But we have to understand, we can't just give them clearance and say they're back, because it's only been a month, guys. It's only been a month. We need more than that. And we also have to remember, pretty much every year they do really well going into Revolution. I think that we really have to give them credit for being back when we get a good Double or Nothing build, because it's been a couple of years since we got that.
The fall off from All In and All Out is for real on the back end of their programming.
Yeah, that's worse. But I'm saying, like, earlier in the year, we have not got a good build to Double or Nothing in quite some time, in my opinion. So I think that will be an indication if we're going to get the drop off that we usually get after All In, All Out, is if we get a better build to Double or Nothing.
I'm willing to say that they're back. I'm not willing to say that they're so back. That's where it really falls in line. But that's a really good point. And you're right about the reason I bring up Ian and Caprice is I find that so invaluable anyway. And on a product that can feel as lost as ROH can sometimes, it makes the difference between it being watchable and unwatchable. I really feel that way. It's your point about Excalibur seeming like very comfortable in that role. I noticed that too. And I also felt like Taz kind of just was like, I'm just going to sit back and have fun with this one. Like, his sense of humor is always a strength, but like, he just seemed to feels so, everybody felt so comfortable, it felt like. Whereas when Tony Schiavone's there, I love the guy. I think he's great as an in-ring interviewer, and he does so many things. But, like, I feel like at this point, what a moment is all I get from this guy. Like, a commentary. I'm done with kind of, like, what he's bringing to the table.
For so much of a historian that Tony Khan is, Tony Schiavone has never been good on three-man announce booths, dating back to WCW. He's never done well at three-man announce booths. He's much better when it's just him and Nigel on Collision.
I agree with that entirely. And that is, a lot of three-man booths are awkward. So, like, I get that, because it's kind of like, well, what role am I playing here? But let's dig into this episode of ROH. Double Rick Abani days. I had double Vic Joseph days on the NXT and SmackDown side. It was a good commentary week for me. But let's dive in. We have our former Pure champion and Wheeler Yuta beating Fuego del Sol with the Psycho Knee. I love that he still uses it, even though Danielson is, like, out of the picture. It's such a dick move. But post-match, he's choking out Fuego with the chain in a surfboard, which I loved, because I'm disgusting. But because also, like, this was one of those things where I was like, I don't know if I've seen people use a chain in a surfboard before, because that feels like such, like, a highly, like, specific to a technical wrestler kind of thing. And I feel like chains and aggressive, violent stuff is not usually interwoven in this way all that often. And I loved how brutal that looked. I thought Fuego sold the hell out of it. And I a lot of credit to that. And I feel like we're talking about how, like, comfortable commentary felt yesterday. I feel like Wheeler Yuta feels so at home in ROH. And I don't know if that's because so much of his time in ROH has been Pure matches and he just thrives in that environment. He's very, very good at those. But, like, there's just something where it feels like he's on a field trip in the ring or something. Like, he's just, there's this interconnectivity with who he is as a wrestler in the ring. Maybe it's because he's free from being in the stable at this moment in time. But, like, he just looks so at home in an ROH setting. I liked this, and this was kind of one of the Fuego matches that I liked better too, because he was up against someone that was a nice contrast to how fun and lighthearted and over of a babyface that guy can really be when he's given a chance to go. I feel like he needs someone who's a violent villain like that. So I actually really enjoyed this opener, considering how much it just kind of appeared out of thin air. I was like, was this left over from the Texas tapings? Like, where did this match come from? But I had a lot of fun with it. What did you think of our opener?
I thought this was a solid opener. And at first I was like, well, Wheeler's kind of like too big of a star now for Ring of Honor a bit. Like, it felt like it was kind of out of place, but, like, by the end of it, I get where you're coming from, where he just felt more comfortable here. And I've been saying it for weeks, Wheeler Yuta is the only one that's gotten over in this Death Riders table. He's the only one who feels like he has more heat, who feels like he's more of a full fleshed out character from the work that they did pre Death Riders into him being the brainwashed one of the group. But yeah, like, here, him showing off that bit of violence is another play off of, like, the story. And, like, the only other person that I think I've ever seen do something similar to this is his former mentor, Brian sure. Danielson.
Nice. Yeah, nice. A nod kind of to that. I agree. Wheeler and Marina are, like, the most over people in this, and it's crazy considering the other guys are Pac, Claudio, and the world champion John Moxley. Like, that's kind of nuts. But this was fun. I was unexpectedly surprised, because I looked at the card and kind of just went, all right, here we go again. But, like, this match ended up keeping me invested, and I really liked what we got out of it. I don't think it leads to anywhere, but, like, if it's just a rep, that was a really fun rep. I'll take it. And shout out to the Wheeler Get a Razor sign that had me in stitches. In stitches. So some good stuff there. Guys, chat along with us here on the ROH side. There's a lot to talk about on the TNA side. I'm sure they are going to take the cake for the evening. But if there's anything that you want to chime in about, feel free to do so via Super Chat or Humper Chat as we move along to this. Abaddon defeats Rachel Elring, which was surprising, but I don't hate. Like, I feel like they've been similarly positioned, right? We saw Abaddon lose to Athena. So they're telling us that she is like an upper or mid card to upper card talent. I just feel like Rachel Alvarez, we've seen so much more from in more recent, and she's had kind of more high pro. Neither of them have been on in a bit, but like before that, I feel like Abaddon hadn't really done anything since the match with Athena, and Rachel was like still a presence with Harley, and booking wise, I guess this is a little bit more even, but I was still kind of surprised to see Abaddon get the win, not in a bad way, just in an unexpected way, but a fun match. I really, really like Rachel Elring. Like, I was a fan of her work, but I was kind of, I don't want to say not in on her, but I hadn't tapped into what makes her so special yet. And now I'm starting to see it, I feel like, more and more over. I really think as a face, especially, she is, as a face with her moveset, especially, I guess is what I'm saying. Like, she feels very much in the spirit of Ring of Honor. Like, she feels like a wrestler's wrestler and someone that you can get behind for being a wrestler's wrestler, like for being great at wrestling, which is nice to see. And that I think is such an integral part of what ROH is right now and what the ROH women's division is specifically. So it feels like the right wrestler in the right division at the right time, which I like to see that. I just don't know where this goes. Like, is Abaddon next up for Red Velvet? Like, what are we accomplishing by having this match is something that I would like for them to get clearer about. What do you think of what we got here, and what do you want to see from both of these ladies moving forward?
Well, I wasn't too surprised that Abaddon got the win, because I do realize that the booking of Abaddon is very simple to understand. Abaddon beats everybody except for the champions. That's basically the rule.
That's not wrong.
It's basically been the rules since I think I started watching AEW and seeing Abaddon here. It's been the rule. She beats everybody except for the champions when the championship is on the line. I do feel for Rachel Ellering, because I feel like she's been a big victim of like start and stop stories. Like, she had a good story going on with Layla Hirsch and their friendship slash partnerships slash sometimes rivals and stuff like that. And it seemed like ever since they faced each other in the Ring of Honor Women's Television Title Tournament last year, they dropped that story. Then last summer into the fall, Rachel was developing something cool backstage with those vignettes with Harley Cameron, but Harley Cameron got way too over and is way too entertaining that they called her up to the main roster and kind of just never finished anything with Rachel, and Rachel was kind of left to her own devices. And now the last couple of times we've seen Rachel, she's been putting over people that are higher up on the pecking order, apparently, to her. So I do feel for her. I do think that they should try to find another new story or another new friendship, it seems. That seems to be the only stories they like to tell, where Rachel is her developing these friendships, but actually follow through on it and tell a story that has a beginning, middle, and end. Because the Layla Hirsch one had a beginning, middle, and end, but the end felt lackluster, because we were like, no, you could continue telling this. They could still be friends. They could still team with each other after they faced each other in the tournament. And then the Harley Cameron one never even got an ending.
Yeah, with Rhea and Harley Cameron, the really fun stuff that was happening there. Ricardo saying she should be hovering around the title scene. She does seem like the type of wrestler that should primarily be caring about titles. I would love to see her versus Red Velvet. I think that could be very, very fun. This is the pro of Athena is everything except for this one thing. So I understand the overwhelming everything part. It does not feel like she's in danger of losing the title anytime soon. Like, it's just not going to happen. It feels like we're probably looking well into spring or summer, probably Billy if this story is continuing, etc. So I do think, like, what that does is kind of hamper the on-show competition. There's just a ceiling on it. But you have this TV title, and I think you have to do a better job of developing stories with it, because I think that Red Velvet hasn't had fully built stories, but she's had a good character arc. So some more built stuff going into it, I think, would be helpful. And I feel like Diamante, we haven't seen in a while. Mercedes Martinez, I don't know where she is. Like, there are all these kind of people that were, like, in that TV title tournament that are just floating around loose right now. Queen Amanada, I guess, is on the main roster. I don't know. But there's some paths to titles that aren't fleshed out. And I feel like if Rich Oliverink had said, "I'm coming for you," or Abaddon had, in a really creepy way, said, "I'm coming for you," this would feel like it meant more.
Yeah. Yeah, this would feel like it has a point to it. And that's what a lot of the issues with Ring of Honor is that there's a lot of different matches, and sometimes we don't really know what's the purpose of them. Like, we have a couple of stories that's going on. You got the Athena and Billy, which feels like it's gone on about eight to nine months longer than it really needed to. It's just a smidge bit longer than it needed to. And then there's whatever the Sons of Texas doing. And right now they're in a pretty entertaining rivalry with the MXM collection. That's fun. But, you know, it's a lot of the other stories, like you have Jericho and Bandito, that's mostly been on AEW television. Like, we really, outside of Global Wars, we haven't got anything of that on AEW television consistently. Bandito hasn't even had a match on official AEW, on ROH TV. You don't
even know he's back from his concussion on ROH television.
We haven't really seen him since he got the concussion at Final Battle here. So yeah, it's weird. It's weird how things pan out. I want Tony to give the reins of Ring of Honor to someone else so they can be in the weeds on ROH television. Someone needs to kind of just sink their teeth into everything and have everything have a purpose on this show. But if it's just going to be show number three that Tony Khan is booking, we're going to get a lot of random matches that we don't see the point for when it's happening.
Yeah, or I think the framework is definitely an issue. Like, I think the fact that this tapes on another day of another show that uses the same talent is a problem. And it doesn't feel like there's a dedicated creative team to it. Whether Tony Khan was on that team or not, now I feel a little differently about seeing how much better the product is when he's fully around. I'm like, give us more Tony Khan, please. Please. We know he can do three shows. It's happened before. So that would be refreshing, but I'm with you. Like, things feeling intentional is definitely a problem. But I'll tell you what's not a problem. Security on my internet, SP3. Do you know why? Because I got NordVPN, baby!
I've often talked about how much of a pay-per-view buyer I am. Take that any way you want it. But I'll tell you how I take it. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Fastest VPN on the planet. Global server network. All that good stuff. That's great. But a big reason why I got NordVPN.com/Fightful is all the pay-per-views I buy, all the money we're spending. We're trying to control costs as a company, as a household. You can get those UFC pay-per-views at a fraction of the price you're paying here in America. Plus, you can get all kinds of great content that you wouldn't normally see thanks to those services as well. Shows that are on overseas services, things that you want to watch a little bit early so you get on that UK time and watch them. Being able to change the interfaces of things like the WWE Network, maybe you don't like Peacock, anything like that. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that ability while having the fastest VPN on the planet. Also, you just get so much more out of your internet experience with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Subscribe to Fight and AEW Plus. Watch AEW without commercials. Watch bare knuckle boxing. Watch UFC pay-per-views, boxing pay-per-views at the rates they're getting over in the UK. Change your virtual location with just one click. And hey, if you need any help using it, they got that 24/7 tech support. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
I'm going to call this out because HHOC says Maria is out, Jimmy is out, maybe Chris Hero. I did want to say that just so that I could go, I need a hero. I need a hero. Chris Hero. I would love that. I would love that.
A knockout artist.
Hell yeah. He would be great. He would be a great dedicated creative resource, I think, for them. But guys, we are continuing along here. Get in your super chats. The TNA show is going to have a lot to talk about. They've got Elijah, Elias, Ezekiel, whichever brother he might be at any given time, is driving Kevin Owens nuts somewhere. That guy's back in wrestling, I'm sure. But they've got the Colognes showing up, and Joe Hendry just seems like he's trying to put on a concert and it can never happen. I guess that's what we're doing over there with Joe Hendry.
Week after week, it's interrupted. And AJ Francis had one of the best lines of the year so far, talking about how much he got his own talk show that's similar to Piper's Pit. And he says that he's so much of a Piper's Pit fan. He's the biggest Roddy Piper fan. He liked Roddy Piper so much that he hated Hulk Hogan before it was cool. Great line.
Good stuff from AJ Francis over there. But let's keep rocking and rolling on this episode of ROH. Let's actually stick with some women's action, because we do have Billy Starks versus Hyann. And this was another one that I thought the in-ring kind of outkicked the coverage of what was set up, because Hyann is very good. Billy Starks is very good. And I felt like their chemistry was great, and how quick of a match this was. I was like, this was actually really compelling. Like, I want to see it run back more and given like a more proper shot on here. But I think she calls it the Rubik's Cube, right? That's the Goya driver. Billy Starks picks up the win, but I was having a lot of fun with this. They like are kind of a similar size. The styles collided in the right way, and they were similar in the right ways. I felt like it was a really fun mix, and I kind of want to see more of what they opened the door to here. And I want to see Hyann sign somewhere. It is silly that she's not. I think we have Viva Van now under the AEW umbrella, so she's coming in. She and Hyann were kind of like two of my top ones on the market. There's so many great women in independent wrestling right now. Becca not being WWE ID tag blows my mind. Like, it's Maggie Lee, Brittany Brooks, J-Rod. Like, there's so many great. Sandra Moon. But, like, when people would ask me, like, who's next up on the indies, these two always came to mind. We're like, Viva Van and Hyann. Great to see Hyann here. Sign her up. Lock her down. Keep her around. But I really liked the chemistry. That just something about it got me invested pretty quick over here.
Yeah, this was a short, hard-hitting matchup. I like that they gave Hyann a little bit something in this matchup. And I like that we got a little bit more of cocky Billy, despite of how the entrance went, where Athena was quite abusive. We love our minion overlord. We love our fallen goddess, but I didn't understand her snatching Billy by the wig like that.
Aggressive.
I was like, that was kind of aggressive. I'm sorry, Athena. Don't grab me by the hair like that. That was kind of aggressive, but I like that brought out more of the aggressive, cocky style that Billy Starks really got. We saw Billy kind of gain her confidence in the ring when she was Ring of Honor Women's Television Champion. We saw a little bit of that in this matchup, especially at the end with her wiping her boots on Hyann. And I agree with you, Hyann, she's just been everywhere. She's been in TNA, she's been in AEW, been in ROH, all over the independent scene, and really a stalwart of that Texas scene, that I think that she does deserve the opportunity to at least get like a per appearance deal with one of these places to just try her out, see if she gets over, and I'm sure she will.
I agree. I think she's fantastic, and I feel like she would fit in on this brand in particular. I agree with you. Like, when I think of where she goes, like if I was playing matchmaker between promotion and wrestler, I would say ROH or New Japan Strong. I feel like both of those should cross over more. I would like to see that a lot. But almost 2,700 of you guys are watching our ROH review. So thank you so much for the support. We do ask that you leave a thumbs up. We do ask that you subscribe. And we do ask that you stick around for the TNA Impact post show. It looks like Obafemi showed up there as well, which is no surprise after what got set up on Tuesday on NXT, so some good stuff going on there. But let's loop back around to Lexi Nair, who's interviewing Jack Jameson, before Garrison, Carter, and Vance interrupt and offer them a spot on the team. And the frat house comes to be, which you said you don't hate online, but
we get the Von Erichs
outrunners.
They just works. It just works. These guys being the frat house, that just makes sense.
Wouldn't you love to kick back with a great cigar, especially during that cool evening weather? It's the perfect time to relax with friends, maybe watch a game, or enjoy a nice evening outside. When it comes to finding the best cigars, Cigars International is the go-to. They've got everything. Whether you're looking for a classic favorite or trying something new, Cigars International never disappoint. They're the go-to retailer for all things cigars, the biggest selection, and they have unbeatable deals and discounts. And we've got one for you here. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order. They've got fast shipping and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. You can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders, $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices. Save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Von Erichs, who Marshall has healed up, so that's great. Happy to see them back in action. But the Von Erichs, the Outrunners, and Top Flight defeat Premier Athletes in this newly formed faction. Great way to get them over. Let's just get them right out the gate. But I will say, Mark Sterling's the one that took the pit in this. Total recall from the Outrunners, who are still over like Rover Band. They're still getting crowd reactions. We had a really nice... I think it was Truth Magnum who had this like flurry of offense in the middle of this that was very fun, punching everyone and slamming everyone in their youth the way that they do. Here's what I don't like about this. I don't like that you pin a new faction. They didn't take the pin, but they're on the losing side immediately. And I don't like that the Von Erichs came back immediately to not their title. It's stupid. What the hell are we doing?
The Von Erichs came back after 6 months of not defending their Ring of Honor World Six-Man Tag Team titles, and they're in a 12-man tag with two other tag teams against two different factions. Two different factions that don't really win that often. Well, the Frat House does, and I don't understand why they did like one squash win for the Frat House and then they're in this rant. There's just way too many random multi-man tag team matches
and
in Ring of Honor.
There's no men's single stuff happening. Like, it's Johnson and nobody.
It never builds to anything. It never builds off anything. It doesn't even matter. It's just the weekly episodic random 12-man tag on ROH TV. It never does anything. I mean, I just looked at the state of the babyface team. You have the Von Erichs, who, you know, who was it, Marshall or Ross was injured. That's all fine and dandy. But the artificially induced title reigns in Ring of Honor is getting a little bit too much. It was one thing when the opening contest, Ian and Caprice are bragging about Wheeler Yuta has held the Premier title for more days than anyone else in history across his three reigns. And I'm just thinking in my head, well, maybe because he was away and injured for like 6 months and y'all just kept the title on.
Yeah, let's talk defenses. That'll be cute. That'll get cute if we start talking defense numbers. Yeah.
And then they just did the same thing with the trio, with the six-man tag team titles, with the Von Erichs, and then Tough Light, man. Tough Light just makes me so sad.
Makes I know, me so sad. It's heartbreaking.
It's completely heartbreaking because you totally were building something on ROH. They were undefeated on ROH, but you just dropped that to do, I don't even know what they were doing on AEW television. They were having Lio Rush and Action Andretti break away from them and create their own tag team that also isn't on TV right now. But that's besides the point. And then finally, you have the Outrunners, where I'm like, why are we having the Outrunners appear every single week on this show? And then the Sons of Texas are the tag team champions. Like, it's so obvious that the Outrunners are way more over than the Sons of Texas. Like, and if you gave an inkling of the storyline and TV investment that you put in the Sons of Texas into anywhere else on this goddamn show, I think that this show would be much better.
Both the tag titles and the trios titles were formed because Texas. And the six-man titles have been out of action because of injury, and the tag titles have been... I mean, the stuff with the Righteous was great. Outside of that, I don't know. Matthew Hook's asking, are there any bookers Tony could hire to help him? Absolutely. Everybody always says Scott D'Amore, and I'm like, no. Because that's... Scott D'Amore, I think, is great for the presentation of wrestling that he put forward. I feel like ROH is almost the antithesis of what TNA was in that regard. So I don't know if that's like the right fit. I thought Delirious was killing it before ROH shut down. I would just hire him back. Just steal him, have him do it. Creatively, I know, like, poor Freddie Prinze Jr., man, he's been looking to start something or buy something out for, I mean, ever. Forever he's been up and down with this stuff. He had like been exploring all these options, and he's been very transparent about how the options have evolved and fallen apart and gotten ripped out from under him. So that's someone with wrestling experience right there that wants the challenge of a full promotion. I don't know if booking's the way, but like I actually feel like that's a pretty boss idea to bring him into ROH. I think Delirious is still with TNA, but like I think they could work something out.
work something out.
They could figure something out.
He's not even the head booker over in TNA. It's Tommy Dreamer. So like if Delirious is going to get a head booking job back in Ring of Honor, I think, and get a payday from Tony Khan, I think they could work something out there. But yeah, they just need to give something to someone else, because I am like, it's annoying that I have to watch the show every week and Tony only cares about one act, and it's the one act I hate the most on the show.
Well, also Athena.
I think that the Sons of Texas get a lot more storyline.
Now
that Athena just gets the same story that she's had for 2 years.
At this point, you are not wrong. You are not wrong. Cyclops says, why do you hate the Von Texas at ROH? Sad. I don't like champions being absent for like 6 months and nobody giving a crap about it on the program. That's what I don't like. I don't like for the same complaints I have about all the other titles, just not really being present on the show. But I did appreciate this. I said over like Rover, and Cyclops also said Rover was never over. He was a mid-carder at best, which pops me huge. But let's talk about your love for the frat house. Why do you like Abs so much?
I like the frat house because when I look at those guys, I either see one of two things. I see WWE PC rejects, or I see guys who are in their late 20s, early 30s, who would still be hanging out at the frat house because they were cool in college. So I think that them being the frat house makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. And I like the little interview they did backstage with Jack Jameson. I'm happy for Jack Jameson that he found something after the Iron Savages kind of dispersed because of one of those individuals' actions. I hope that the other individual from the Iron Savages that's left over gets something as well to sink his teeth into and has a role to play that he can move forward with. But I like that Jack Jameson is in this group. I like Preston Vance. And I'm willing to give, I think Griff Garrison has probably the most potential out of everybody in the group. And Cole Carter's here. So I think that this makes a good group.
Cole Carter, I feel like, actually fits what they're going for extremely well with this. So I'll
take that. The age. He's probably the age. He's the closest age just that. To a front house member.
Even just that, right? Bear Boulder is the piece of shit, just to clear that up. He's the one that was arrested for domestic violence. Bear Bronson, I will go look it up yourself, but like he released a really heartfelt and affecting statement, and I feel for that guy, because that is, to learn something like that about your tag partner and friend, someone that you've worked with, right, and traveled roads with, and been in they've been together since they were at WrestlePro, man. That tag team has been a tag team for a long time. So I have a lot of empathy for Bear Bronson. It would also actually be really funny if he came into this as like, every frat had that guy that was like his size and was like in the back yelling during beer pong and stuff. Like every frat had that guy if he can like lean into it. I also was like, we have not seen Ortiz on television in a while. And I thought for some reason, like an Ortiz tag team with him would be something that's really fun. I really do. Like, I think that could be a cool combination of guys. Feel like Ortiz maybe comes back with Eddie Kingston in some fashion, like but
I would like for them to give Ortiz a shot as a single star on ROH.
When he's
cleared, I think that he would have a better direction moving forward. Eddie is too much of a star. He'd just be Eddie's sidekick if they just pair them back up together again. I want to see Ortiz get his opportunity to go out on his own. And maybe that wasn't what he wanted to do at the time. I'm pretty sure he wanted to continue his tag team with Santana, and that would have been good if Tony Khan had decided to push them way back when. But we can't talk about spilled milk. So let's give Ortiz a shot as a single star, because we need single stars on Ring of Honor television.
Especially, the men's singles division could use some love right now. So totally with you on that. As we move along, Scorpio Sky is another guy. Like, what if he was on ROH for a day and he had two different vignettes for one day? Very weird. Very, very weird. But let's keep moving along here. We've got your not main event, Commander facing Lee Johnson, of course, with EJ and Duka at ringside. We had Lee Johnson winning a Proving Ground match by lasting the time limit previously to earn this. So this was nice. There was at least some kind of creative consistency that went into this, which I appreciate. Lee Johnson, now this is his third title shot, though, and he didn't win. Commander does win with an incredible shooting star press, per usual. This is the problem with no, like, other male contenders being built up, like I've been complaining about for months, is, like, now what does Lee Johnson do? What does he do? Are him and EJ and Duka a tag team? Why isn't EJ and Duka wrestling? Like, part of the issue with having no contenders for titles really is that then when you do build up someone and they lose, they have nowhere to go anymore. So that's part of my frustration with this, but really, really good match. We talk about it a lot. Lee Johnson has improved so tremendously. And like now the nuances, I feel like, are really starting to come along with him too. Like, he got the fundamentals down, and then he put the whole picture of what it means to be a pro wrestler together. And now we're starting to see like facial expressions and these kind of these little movements that I feel like more in-ring completion as far as stories go coming to life, which is nice to see. But I had a lot of fun with this. He sold the hell out of some of the stuff that Commander was giving him too. I liked this. I don't know why this wasn't. I mean, I do know why this wasn't the main event, but I also don't know why this wasn't the main event. You know what I mean? So some decent stuff here. I like this. I like Commander being on television. I think it's better that he wins than loses on Collision. I think this is good. What did you think of our World TV title match here, SP3?
Really good matchup. I thought that they worked really well with one another. Lee Johnson is just like the prototypical challenger for the Ring of Honor TV title.
He's the only one.
He always gets a shot at the TV title. And I think that this would have been better served, though, on next week's show. Because they didn't announce anything for next week's show. We did know last week that we were going to get this matchup here. But once you have, you know, the CMLL talent that we had here, I understand putting them in the main event. So this would have been better served if you saved it for a week. Like, this week should have probably been, like, promos from both probably Commander with Alex Abrahantes and then one with Lee and EJ. Hopefully we get some type of follow-up with, like, maybe Lee J being like, okay, now that Lee failed to win the TV title again, we're going to go full throttle and focus on the tag team division and potentially get them in there. Because it's cool that, you know, they invest TV time and storyline focus on whoever the Sons of Texas is feuding with. But, you know, they are continuing the rivalry with MXM Collection, but they just beat MXM Collection. So I would like other teams to be like, I'm gonna get in line here. I'm gonna get next up, even though MXM Collection, I mean, they convinced me they're one half of the tag team champions with their fellow half, Dustin Rhodes.
I don't know what you're talking about, that they're not champions. So
I mean, they did retain their gold, but I want to see other teams kind of get in position. And, you know, the kind of commentary does that very well when there's a tag team in the ring. They'd be like, okay, they're going after tag team gold. But we need to hear that from the actual people. We can't just allow, you know, Ian and Caprice, like we always say, one of the best commentary teams in the world, if not the best commentary team in wrestling. So they're going to do well to kind of create their own stories, but we need the guys to get time, even if it's just winning a match and then talking into the camera afterwards saying, we're coming for you, Dustin and Sammy. It helps to fill out and make the division feel like it's an actual division instead of challenger of the month or challenger for 3 months, usually with Sons of Texas.
I agree. Wasn't it announced that there was will be a women's pure rules match? Yes, Serena Deeb had challenged.
They didn't. They never announced when though. She just made the challenge last week.
I genuinely don't know when they taped this. Do you know when they taped this?
This was Texas. This was like Austin. I think it was like Austin. So this was Collision in Austin, Texas, which was, I want to say, 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, at least, because we had the Jericho Cruise and we had Australia. So, okay, there's a reason that this episode felt so disjointed, which is the good and the bad of it. I do like that they're using ROH for specialty stuff. I will say that. Like, you're filming all these matches on the boat anyway. Why not make it an ROH episode? You're going to be in Australia. How do we maximize this brand there? I don't mind that. So I appreciate that they're doing it, but it does derail the regular television. Let's keep rocking and rolling. That TV title match was good. I think this is a good step for Commander, because I think he is still acclimating a little bit. Like, he's really, really kind of clicked into American television wrestling with his style now. But I feel like every time I see him, there's like more. How do I put it? I don't want to say polish, because it's not like, whoa, that guy's rough around the edges. But like, there's something of like, it's almost like there's more and more pride coming through in his performance. Like, he's more and more comfortable, and it's allowing for him to be locked in and in new ways. So I think this TV title run is a good place for him to be right now. But let's keep
his selling in the matchup was ace.
Both of them, yeah.
that was really, he was really good here. I agree with you. Commander feels a little, more focused and locked in ever since winning the title. Like, he's gotten that stamp of approval from Tony Khan, that vote of confidence that is showing off in his work.
In the least literal way possible, he feels more grounded.
You know what this show was missing? A little Vanilla Baby.
It was missing Blake Christian, but this, I, now that we're talking about when this was actually taped, I think, like, it kind of makes sense. No talking crap about talent in the chat. We just don't allow that around here, so stop being silly. Knock it off. But Cody Anderson's saying tonight was Houston. Next week we'll have Austin. Well, there you go. Okay. Thank you.
There you go. Thank you.
If you send in money to tell us that, I'm just going to never know anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I knew it was Texas, but I didn't know what city. So thank you, Cody.
There you go. Texas is a very big state.
And he said, next week, Austin's going to have Vanilla Baby.
There you go. There you go. He's been so fantastic, man. It makes me so happy for that guy. Like, he's just been absolutely killing it. Absolutely killing it. But let's move on to the Gates of Agony. You were speaking of teams that should have an interest in that tag title. There's one. Defeating Exodus Prime with a pinfall with the Open the Gates. You and I were both a little confused by, like, hey, why are there more matches after this? Hey, what's going on? So I was a little bit perplexed on that one too, SB3, but I'm glad that they're being used consistently, because there was a while where it was like, which show are they on? And then they were on no show for a while. And now we're kind of back to knowing what the Gates of Agony are and who they are, as they are a top tag team in this division. They do keep winning. There are these loose ends, SB3, though, that they haven't paid off.
They just totally forgot that Lee J attacked them at Final Battle. Like, have they even, I know they probably show, like, highlights on the week after, but that just seems like so long ago. It's been 2 months since Final Battle, so, yeah, I guess they kind of dropped that, which I don't know why, because I would have liked to see Lee J versus Gates of Agony continue, and now that they turned heel, they didn't even get their win back, because didn't Gates get the win at Final Battle? Yeah. I don't even remember anymore, but yeah. Gates got the win, and now it seems that the Gates are back to being heels. They look like they were going babyface after Final Battle when Lee J turned, but now they're back to being heels, kind of. So
they, I mean, in the dark order, they just are like, we don't know who we are today. we just show up and get assigned things.
we just show up. We see our name on some board, and we just wrestle the match guy.
Just get my check and I head home, because they don't know what we're doing. But we have over 4,600 people watching.
It's breaking news.
Because breaking they want to news. Talk about Etisero and Soberano Jr., not because of TNA and Sean being here. Absolutely not.
Well, it's not TNA. It isn't TNA. It's actually news that affects you, Kate.
The Rock. Finally, Sean has come to the ROH post show.
Sort of. I have confirmed that tomorrow on the SmackDown post show, the final Ross returns for about 10 to 15 minutes. That usually ends up being 20 to 25.
Well, it's boom, boom, boom. People have questions for you.
SP3, you got to be with me on this. And Alex, like, how is she going to have a turntable back there and not turn into DJ Lethal from Limp Bizkit?
Have you considered DJ that movie? Lethal? I'm just taking my time. Like, I'm just
or, my mom. Listen, Kate, DJ Lethal was multi-talented. He was also the DJ for House of Pain. So
there you go.
And he got into a whole beef with Eminem.
He did. I had some, man, you want to talk about a deep cut. So today, Eminem was announced for the soundtrack of 2K. And it's so funny because I had, like, there was somebody that tried to hit me with a dunk, like, the other day. They're like, didn't you report in 2019 that Eminem is going to do the soundtrack for 2K20? It's like, I did a whole ass podcast with a guy that almost got fired from UMG because UMG thought that he leaked that to me. Like, Eminem is in whole ass movies about his stuff getting leaked and how he doesn't like it. They pulled out of that deal. And I just want to say, Eminem, you are welcome for leaking that and keeping you from doing the soundtrack for WWE 2K20. Because, listen, forget scandals over things that he has said or, you know, substances and trials and tribulations. Had he done the soundtrack for 2K20, his career would have never recovered.
That is true.
Yeah.
That's like doing the soundtrack for Jilly, whatever that J-Lo movie was with Ben Affleck back in like 2000.
Jilly. Didn't make it any better. But we do have our main event to talk about, but Sean, I assume that you've got some scoop skis that you're popping on to talk about here as far as the TNA Impact show tonight, which had two major debuts going on. Lots happening in TNA world.
Yeah, I got no scoops on the colons yet. What is it?
The colons.
The colons. No scoops on them. But Joel, I see, is on the back end. We do have Elijah news. So a couple weeks ago, there had been reports that Elijah had signed with AEW ROH, which, you know, I think is a fair assumption. But, you know, when people will – I'll give you a good example. Kevin Owens made a tweet very heavily hinting at the fact that he had signed a new five-year deal. I am not allowed to assume that and then say, well, it's confirmed. I got to confirm it direct with the source or with the company. And I did that and confirmed he signed a five-year deal. It kicked off. It kicked off actually not to the date of which he intimated either. So, but a lot of people would have assumed, oh, well, Elijah's going to ROH, AEW. He did this thing with the Righteous. As best I know, the Righteous are still under ROH contract. Elijah has been signed by TNA. That is official. He is with the company. Something that they have had finalized at least within the last 2 weeks. But yeah, he is with the company. I don't know about the status of the colognes yet. But yeah, I was told right before TNA went on the air there'd be a bunch of surprises. There were. There were quite a few, Obafemi and the like. But yeah, just wanted to drop by and give that note. FightfulSelect.com. We had a big day today. It was a three-year-old scoop I wasn't sure I would ever come up off of, the Ronda Rousey one. But then the Tony Khan, Shane McMahon thing, which credit to Jonathan Coachman, got the ball rolling on that, because I had one of Shane's friends that had talked to me about this a while back, and he's like, listen, if it gets out there or if you can get somebody else to tell you, I'll kind of uncork it. And boy, did he uncork a lot of it today. Was outright saying Shane had no product knowledge and was like, yeah, maybe give me a piece of that. Okay. Okay. But I'll hop off of here and I'll let you all take it over.
Sean, can I have a percentage of Fightful? Worth a shot. Worth a shot.
Was worth the shot. You have product knowledge, though. So.
I do. Which means I should get a bigger stake, right? I mean, that's what I think. Well, let's round this out so we can hand the reins over to Joel and Cresta. We do have Hechicero, Soberano Jr., and Cavanario defeating Fuego, Dark Panther, and Sammy Guevara with the rolling leg pin here, and MXM trying to attack Sammy Guevara after the match, but Fuego and Dark Panther make the save. And Guevara hits the GTH on Mansoor for the win. Very cool to see Hechicero around again. Don't know if it warrants putting this in the main event slot over a title match, but we did have a closing angle on this one. Before we throw this to Joel and Cresta to talk, all the juicy things going on at this TNA live taping, what were your thoughts on this?
You said you don't know if Hechicero warrants this being in the main event. Of course it does. The alchemist of professional wrestling. Yo, he does this during his entrance. Like, and whoever does this and does hand movements in front of their hands, Great Okan, Hechicero, always should main event. Always should main
Great event. Okan should be main eventing Wrestle Kingdom every year.
I don't have. I used to have.
Does that extend to like little... Aussie Open? Like, is it all hand movements?
Oh no, I got this. I got this. I can do it. So like I love me some Alchemist of Wrestling. Love that finishing sequence that he did. This was a lot of fun. This was probably like this and the Lee Johnson versus Commander matchup. It's probably the two best matches we've had on a single episode of ROH in a couple of months. It was like that was a very good matchup. This was a lot of fun. Lucha things going on. This was the way to close the show. So give it up to that. Give it up to the Alchemist of professional wrestling. Anytime Hechicero's on this show, he should headline.
Ghost attacked you, the chat says. Well, my goodness, through the TNA talent exchange program here, we've got Joel and Cresta coming on to talk about this loaded episode, which saw, as Sean called them, the colons and not the colognes. And Elijah, Elias, Ezekiel debuting, Obafemi showing up as well. Sounds like you got a loaded episode for your live episode. This was not pre-taped. You had a full live crowd. What did you think of what we got tonight?
Where do you want to start? You want to start with Tessa, we coming for you, Tessa. We coming for you.
I was telling Joel in the notes, these are the most Tessa notes I have. And it's all what the crowd was chanting. Tessa, the door.
She's a racist.
Damn.
That one too. So I'm just letting everyone know that we're doing our journalistic approach to
journalistic reporting. Integrity.
Yes, we report integrity. Accurately. That's what we do. We report accuracy here on Fightful. And those were things that were shouted at Tessa Blanchard tonight. And then when Santino said, "You have to wrestle next week or you're fired," they chanted, "Please don't wrestle." So if you're wondering how the Tessa Blanchard and TNA experiment is going,
it's going
guys.
I'll let you in on a secret. There's a song by the Migos that perfectly describes the situation. It goes, "In the kitchen and I'm cooking like a stir fry, because they cooking her shit."
You know what? I'm gonna hang up and listen. Great seeing you.
Later, guys.
Oh, baby, we're back.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.